All right, if you have your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Acts chapter 4, the book of Acts chapter 4. And I've been thinking about this. It was mentioned Sunday, I believe it was, in Sunday school. But I've been thinking about this for quite some time now. And I believe that every Christian needs to have this on their heart. I know that us as Christians realize who God is, or we wouldn't be saved, right? Sure. But I don't think that us as Christians realize what kind of power God possesses. I thought about that. It's been on my heart for weeks now. And it was mentioned in Sunday school Sunday about God's power. And it went right along with the message that God had laid on my heart. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says this, "And when they had heard that," I'm going to explain what that is, "they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God." Boy, how good is that? How many know that He's God tonight? Amen. He is God. Now watch. "Which has made made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." That's power, is it not? I want to preach to you tonight on the secrets of God's power. The secret of God's power. First of all, I want to give you one that I believe that God's power is in. And number one, I believe it's His holy church. I believe that God's power resides in the church. Now, I'm not talking about these four walls. I'm not talking about this roof, this A-frame roof that's under the steeple. I'm talking about the people of God that make up the church. That's where God's power rests upon. And I want us to look tonight at just a few things of how we can recognize God's power. Recognizing number one, first of all, who God is. You know, we just kneeled around here and prayed. Now, I want y'all to think about this. We just bowed our heads and prayed to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says that He made the earth, He made the heaven, He made the sea, and all that is in them. Is that not what we just read? God made all of that. And we've got the privilege of talking to the one who created this old earth. We've got that privilege tonight. That's part of God's power. You say, well, preacher, how in the world do we see God's power in the church house? I'll tell you, number one, we got to be in one accord. That's the only way. And the Bible says back in 24, it says, "And when they heard that," what is that? It's the Word of God. That's what that is. The Word of God. "They lifted up their voices to God with" what? One accord. Everybody was in agreement with what the Bible had to say. And can I say something to you tonight? If Mount Carmel ever is going to have God's power on this church, not the building, but the people that make up the church, you have got to be in agreement with what God says. Don't argue about the Bible. Believe what it says. It is settled. The Bible says the Word of God is settled in heaven, and all Scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Is that not right? That's the Bible. And we've got to be in agreement that God is, God was, and God will be. We got to be in agreement tonight that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross. We got to agree with that. We got to agree that Jesus did die, and they put him in a tomb, and on the third glorious morning, he arose on that third day. We've got to believe that tonight. We got to be in accord, one accord. When they heard that, the word of God, they lifted up their voices in one accord, the Bible says. We've got to believe what the Bible says. Not only do we have to be in one accord, number two, I believe we've got to learn how to praise the Lord. We've got to learn how to praise the Lord. Now, everybody's not vocal. No, they're not. Everybody's not a hand raiser. Everybody's not a crier. But everybody that's saved has a reason to praise God. How many agree with that? We've got a reason tonight to praise Him. It don't matter what your way is. Everybody's got different ways. God didn't make none of us just alike. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad I ain't like Penny. Praise God. No, I'm just picking. But every one of us is different, and we worship and praise God in different ways. That's why He made the human race. But He made us all in the likeness of His image. Is that not right? That means we're all supposed to worship and praise the Father which is in heaven. And that's what Jesus did while He was on earth. We wonder why we ain't got power. Well, we got to learn to start praising God. We got to start being in one accord when the Word of God is being preached. We got to lift up our voices. Not only one accord, praising God, but look at verse 31 in that same chapter. The Bible says, and when they what? What'd we just do? We just prayed. Is that not right? The place was what? Shaken. You know why? Because when they got down on their knees, they believed what they was praying. They believed that God was hearing their prayer. They believed that they were speaking to a God that's alive and well. They believed that Jesus died and rose again. They believed that Jesus one day was coming back after them. They believed that. And the Bible says that when they prayed, the place was shaken up. We need a good shaking up today. How many agree with me? Bless God, the world is getting shook up by the demons and the devils. Why can't we shake it up using the Holy Ghost? Amen. We need that in our churches. We got to unlock God's power. And the only way we can unlock it is, number one, be in one accord. Number two, we got to praise the Lord. Number three, we got to pray together. Number four, I believe to unlock God's power, we got to preach the Word of God the way it's wrote down. There's too many compromising, spineless preachers in the pulpits today. That I watch them on TV, it makes me sick to my stomach. That ain't nothing but garbage to me, because they're tickling their ears instead of preaching the Word of God. They stand up and tell jokes. They stand up and tell stories. That ain't the Bible, my friend. The Bible is from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's not something that you imagine. It's something that's wrote down in the Word of God. That's the Bible. You say, can you prove it, preacher? Why, sure I can. Look with me back at verse 20. Same chapter. What did it say? We cannot but speak the things which we have what? My goodness. I can't stand up here and preach the Bible on something that I saw or somebody told me a joke. You can't do that. You got to preach what's wrote down and back it up with what's wrote down. Then God's pleased. Too many times, preachers stand up in the pulpits and say, well, back in the younger days, this, that, and the other. You know, that's hogwash to me. Here's what the Bible has to say, and that's what we need to preach. Y'all didn't know y'all was going to get preached to tonight, did you? But it's the Bible, is it not? It says we can't preach what we've seen and heard. We got to preach what the Bible has to say. And when you preach what the Bible has to say, a lot of people don't like the Bible no more. Did you know that? They don't want the Bible preached to them no more. They get mad and puffed up. Is that Paul said that? People get puffed up and mad at the preacher for preaching the Word of God. Well, you can go ahead and get mad at me because that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to preach it until the day I die. And that's what we need, preaching the Word of God. So I say, to unlock God's power, you got to have power in the church. Number two, I preached on this Sunday, and Lord just laid it on my heart again, and talking about the fruit of the church. Look at chapter 5, one chapter over, and verse 14. Look what it says now. The Bible says, and believers, that's Christians, is it not? Watch. Were the more added to the Lord, multiplied multitudes both of men and women. I say the first fruit of a church that unlocks God's power is it grows. It grows. And so many times, it's heartbreaking. And Brother Jimmy will tell you the same thing. You study all week long, and people won't come to church and give you the time to listen to what God's laid on your heart. That breaks your heart, don't it, brother? It breaks your heart. And it's sad that God has called us into the ministry, and we work a job, and I know Jimmy did too, and tried to pastor too. It's hard. And then you take time. You're setting up at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, getting up 2 hours early of a morning and studying and reading your Bible and trying to get something of what God wants you to preach and what the people need. Hey, let me tell you something. It's easy to preach what I want to, but it's not godly to preach what I want to. It's godly to preach what He lays on your heart. It'd be very easy for me to stand up here tonight and say, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It would be easy to do that. Anybody can do that. But what's hard is getting what the church needs. Most time it's for me. I step on my own toes standing right up here a lot of times. And Sunday school teachers, y'all know what I'm talking about. Brother Jimmy, you know what I'm talking about. And a lot of times, it's hard. But the first thing we see that God's power has been unleashed and unlocked is the church starts growing and souls are being saved. You know, I thank God for the souls that's been saved here in the last almost 3 years. Next month will be 3 years that I've been here. But it's not what I've done. It's what the Word of God has done. It's not me. It's not me at all. The only thing I can say is I preach the Word of God and obedient to the Spirit. That's what all I can say. I don't know how many souls have been saved here. Numbers don't mean nothing to me long as their soul is going to heaven. Amen? But there's been people come down, thought they was saved for years and years and years, and tell me right here on this very altar, preacher, I thought I was saved, but I realized I know I wasn't, and it's time to make things right with God. I remember down at Hornsboro, Jamie come to me and told me the same thing. He come down the aisle one Sunday morning and said, preacher, I'm lost. I need to get saved. I said, well, brother, let me show you how. And he got down on his knees and he admitted his sins to the Lord God Almighty and asked the Lord into his heart, and he saved his soul that day. And he'll tell you the same. He ain't been the same since. That's what God can do, and that's what the Word of God can do. I had a man tell me this week of a church in our community, not direct community, but in our, I say community. Last Wednesday night, he went to church. The men go one way and the women go the other way. It's like our WMU and Baptist men, you know how we do. But they do this every Wednesday night. And they just started it. And he said, can I tell you something? And he was crying when he was telling me this. He said, we sat in the Sunday school room for 1 hour. Not one prayer was made. One time was the Bible opened. One time, not once. They talked about what they had for supper, what they're going to cook for their next gathering, and they departed, left, and went home. I said, when's the last time you had somebody saved in that church? He said, it's been years. I see why. If the Word of God is not being preached, the preacher will stand up. Now this is coming from his mouth, not mine. The preacher will stand in the pulpit, talk for 10 to 15 minutes on Sunday morning, and they're out of church by 20 minutes to 12. How sad is that? I told him, I said, you know what? I said, if I don't eat, which y'all can tell I eat plenty, but if I don't eat and feed my body, it's what? It's going to die, isn't it? Same thing with the soul. If it's not spiritually fed, it's going to die also. And I told him, I said, if you're not careful, you're going to die spiritually. Yeah, you might eat a ham hock for supper and fried taters and stewed cabbage. You might eat all of that, but that does nothing for the spiritual soul. You need the Word of God to feed you. It's sad, isn't it? That was just this week he told me that. Broke my heart. And he was crying. How sad it is to see a church dying like that. Not only does the church grow, the fruit of a church that's unlocked God's power, I want y'all to listen to me closely right here. Because this is a touchy subject I'm fixing to reach right here. Y'all probably remember this as you, when you was growing up. How many remember people getting anointed with oil? Y'all remember that? Where did that go? Y'all ever thought about that? Why don't we do that no more? James chapter 5. Look what this says. Verse 14. Or excuse me, James chapter 5 and verse 14. Now watch. Is any sick among you? See that question mark there? He put that there for a reason. Are there anybody here that's sick? That's what he's asking, right? Let them call for the elders of the church, right? That's the deacons, is that not right? And let them what? Wow. And anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. That's the Bible, folks. That ain't me. That's the Bible. I don't have no anointing. I don't think. Y'all got any anointing over here? Okay. I hadn't even ever looked. But back years ago, I remember if somebody didn't, you know, had maybe a surgery coming up or maybe they had cancer or sickness or whatever, they would come down here and the deacons would get around them and then the whole church would just come and lay hands on each other. Y'all remember that? And the next Sunday, that person, whoever it was, if it was God's will and touched them and healed them, they would come down and they would give a testimony of how last week the doctor said, I needed surgery, but since God touched me, since the heavenly doctor come in, I don't need the surgery no more. And they would praise God forevermore. If the church is going to unlock God's power, we got to believe what the Bible says and lay hands on people. It's not our hands. It's just being obedient to the Scripture. It's not Wesson oil. I mean, really, it's not that. It's being obedient to the Scripture. I wish my wife was here. She'd tell you this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. When Chandler was about 3 years old, I got off. Nancy would keep him during the day, and then me and Christy, you know, of course she don't get off till 8 o'clock, so I got off and come home before she did. Nancy said, I've given him Advil, I've given him Tylenol, and I can't get the fever down. We need to take him to the doctor. This was about 5 or 6 o'clock. I went in the kitchen, opened up the cabinet, and got some cooking oil. Cooking oil. I dumped it on my fingers, rubbed it on his temples, and he was just laying there, and I hovered over him. Me and Nancy, I started praying, God, would you take this fever away? 103.2 temperature. I said, God, would you take it away right now in the name of Jesus Christ? I said, you said, if there's any sick among us, call for the elder of the church, anointing them with oil, and believe in what you can do, that you're going to do it. Lord, I believe you can take his temperature away. To this day, he's never run another temperature. To this day. You say, was that you, preacher? No, it had nothing to do with me except being obedient to the Word of God. What if we would do that as a church again? As being obedient to the Scriptures, you could unlock God's power. That's what would happen. You say, preacher, if anybody gets anointed with oil, will they get healed? That ain't what I said. I never said that. If it's God's will, it will be healed. And that's what we pray. That God's will be done. Folks, we need to get back to the old ways. Jeremiah said this, remove not the old landmarks. We've moved too many and got in this new wave and newfangled garbage of the world that we think medicine's going to cure everything. Well, medicine is good, but God's better. Amen. Thank God he gave the doctors the knowledge to give us medicine. Thank God for that. Because I wouldn't have a clue what to take or what to give without the doctor giving me what to take. I wouldn't have a clue. But I do have a clue on who to go to when I do get sick. And that's the man Jesus Christ. Amen? We got to get back to the old ways. So I say to you, the fruit of the church that unlocks the power. Number one, how we know it is, the church grows. The sick are healed. Number three, we have spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. I've had some of you tell me that since I've been here, you've learned more about the Bible than you have in a long time. And I thank you for that. Thank you for that. But it's not me again. It's just giving you the Word of God. That's all it is. And you know what? We all need to grow spiritually instead of sitting there and dying spiritually. The only way we're going to grow is have the Word of God preached. Not only spiritual growth, but church growth. And then let me give you the last one. So how to unlock God's power? First of all, we got to be in one accord, right? Second of all, we got to praise God. Third, we got to pray together. Then we got to preach the Word of God. Next of all, the fruit of the Holy Church is the church grows. You see it blossom. And then the sick are healed. You know, I've often wished I could be like those apostles and disciples of Jesus. You ever wish to be like them? Where you could just walk by? I was reading yesterday, just studying, just a little bit of reading, where people would bring sick folks to those disciples, and just by walking in the shadow of Peter, they was healed. Just a shadow, being in his presence. What if we could just go to the hospitals, to the cancer wards, and just go by there and just lay our hands on them, and they would leap out of the bed, no more pain. We can have that. There's no difference between us and the disciples. The only thing is, they was closer to Jesus. Could you imagine you got sick folks in your family and you just go lay your hand on them and they leap up out of their bed? That's what happened. What about Jairus' daughter? Dead. Laying there in her bed. Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. He walked in there, prayed to the Father over her, and the Bible says she sat up. And he said, feed her. Give her something to eat. She's hungry. I remember when Peter was preaching, how many remember the man called Eutychus fell out of the second story loft in the book of Acts, broke his neck and killed him. Peter was preaching long-winded. He got sleepy, fell asleep in the windowsill, and fell out backwards and killed him. Peter walked down there, laid his hands on him, picked him up, and he walked off. My, my. Don't you wish we had that power today? I've often wondered how to get that power. You ever wondered how we could get that power? They believed God. They trusted God. You remember one time where there was a man with demons and the disciples couldn't get those demons out. They brought to Jesus and he said, oh ye of little what? Mama. Jesus said, come out. And the Bible says they left immediately. What if we had that power today? My, my. I'd be at the hospital right now shouting, wouldn't you? Hospitals would go bankrupt. Amen. The cancer wards would be empty. My, my. You know what? We get close enough to God, we can have that. You say, that's in the old days. You can't tell me that. Today is the same. Jesus said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last of all, I believe that we need to how to unlock God's power is to obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. The Bible says this. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Man tells me to shut up and sit down and quit preaching. Man tells me not to praise God. Man tells me not to lay hands on people. Man tells me not to be happy in the Lord. Well, my Bible also says, obey God rather than man. I'm going to keep on preaching it. I'm going to keep on singing it. I'm going to keep on shouting it. And I'm going to keep on anointing just like God said until he calls me home. Folks, we need God's power. God's way is the best way anyhow. How many's ever messed up and tried it your way? I'll raise my hand on that one. I've tried it my way and it didn't work. I fell flat on my face. Take one step forward and nine steps backwards. But if I do it God's way and listen to the voice of God speak to me, I know it's not of man, it's of God. When's the last time you got along with God and said, Lord, speak? Speak to me, O Lord. It would do us good to get alone somewhere before this revival takes place and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, this church needs to be revived. But Lord, I know the church needs to be revived, but let it start with me. Let it begin with me. That way, I'm not pointing my finger at nobody. I'm worrying about Tim instead of everybody else. If I get myself right, the rest is going to take care of it, isn't it? I want us to think about that tonight. Unlocking God's power. We need God's power in our life. Every day of our life. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday. I'm talking 7 days a week. We need God's power. I hope and trust that you took this to heart tonight. These are the only way we can get to God's power. Through the recognizing who God really is. Recognizing when you get on your knees and pray, you're talking to the one who created this whole earth. Recognizing when you get on your knees to pray, you're talking to the creator of the sea and everything in it. When you recognize who He is, it will humble your spirit and you will learn to get right with God tonight. Amen? Amen. Unlocking God's power. Let's all stand to our feet.
Let's get the power of God back in our life. And if we get it back in our life, it'll